This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Did you catch the story this week that 35 years after his attempt to assassinate President Ronald Reagan to secure the attention of actress Jodie Foster, John Hinckley Jr. is set to be released from St. Elizabeth's Hospital after a judge ruled that he is no longer a danger to himself or society. He's going to live with his mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. Does the Hinckley case say something about America's mental health crisis in the criminal justice system that we talk about a lot on this program? Is Hinckley one of the lucky ones, or as an insanity defendant, just one of the rarest of the rare? Richard Bonney is a criminal law professor at the University of Virginia School of Law and director of the university's Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy. Bonney says Hinckley's case points up how rarely real mental illness is ever taken into account in the U.S. prison system.
I can understand, actually, how some people might think, given the length of time that he has been at St. Elizabeth's, that maybe this was just punishment by another name. I don't think so. I think his case is actually illustrative of both the importance and the virtues of the insanity defense, and I think also indicative of the care with which the criminal justice system and here the mental health system take to provide appropriate treatment to a person with mental illness and also to protect society.
So people who might be thinking, oh boy, John Hinckley coming out of St. Elizabeth's, coming out of custody, that's really the wrong way of looking at this. You would say that if everybody who's mentally ill in the criminal justice system got the treatment Hinckley got, we'd be a much better country.
Well, no, I don't think I would. I think it's important, actually, to view the special aspects of Hinckley's case and to keep them in mind here. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people with serious mental illness that are getting caught up in the criminal justice system, largely due, I think, to the unfinished business of deinstitutionalizing our mental institutions 50 years ago. Obviously, there are some cases in which people who have been charged with and have actually committed, you know, serious offenses were acutely ill at the time that they committed those offenses. And the question then at that point is how should the system handle those cases, both in deciding whether they should they were too ill, essentially, to be fairly punished, and if they were not responsible, as in Hinckley's case, we have to have an appropriate dispositional arrangement that carefully provides the treatment that they need in order to protect the public, but at the same time provides fairness to them so that they have an opportunity to show over a period of time that they can live safely in the community.
I think I'm understanding what you're saying, that in Hinckley's case, because of the use of the insanity defense, and possibly because this was such a high-profile case, justice for Hinckley was treatment at St. Elizabeth's. But for most defendants who have mental health problems of one kind or another, the question of justice and the question of treatment are separated, and there's no way in the United States right now to pull them together unless we offer more services in the prison system.
Or preventively in the community. We can keep mentally ill people out of the criminal justice system and divert them from the system if we provide the kind of adequate community-based treatment that they need. I think virtually everybody involved in mental health services and mental health reform issues is agreed that if we were actually able to beef up the mental health services system in order to provide services with people that people need before they spiral out of control, it would be best for them, and it would also be best for society and the criminal justice system.
Richard Bonney, a criminal law professor at the University of Virginia School of Law and director of the university's Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you.